Stay tuned for some emerging cognitive dissonance, the chance the Republican tax overhaul props up Obamacare. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Senate Republicans are closer to passing their $1.5 trillion tax overhaul. Not only did the Senate Finance Committee pass the bill yesterday, but a key swing senator, Republican Susan Collins of Maine, says she's working on a deal that would get her closer to yes. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace of Dan Gorenstein is here with this health care meets tax overhaul story. Dan, sounds like Senator Collins wants some Obamacare relief in exchange for her vote.
Senator Collins doesn't like the provision, David, in the tax bill that repeals the individual mandate, the requirement that people get insurance or face a fine, especially because the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office predicts taking that away will cause premiums to spike 10% or more than they would otherwise. Collins has indicated she might be willing to hold her nose and vote for this tax plan with the repeal if she can get two separate bills that she believes would, quote, mitigate the impact.
The impact. And what would the bills actually do?
Well, the first is would reinstate billions of dollars in federal money that would go to insurers to help compensate them for discounts that they provide under the ACA. The second is the idea that the federal government would spend $4.5 billion on a reinsurance program, effectively reimbursing insurers for their most costly patients. Taken together, Collins believes this would bring some stability to Obamacare and the insurance rates people have seen. But plenty of health policy people think even if these pass, the reinsurance money doesn't go far enough and millions of Americans will still be uninsured because of the repeal of the individual mandate.
All right, Dan, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning, up 0.1% for the S&P future. It's been almost a decade of recovery since the Great Recession, and while some things have recovered, funding for public schools is not one of them. That's from a new report today by a left-leaning think tank, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. It finds in many states, public investment K through 12 has declined since 2008. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
Some states have bounced back, but in 2015, after you account for inflation, about 30 states were still providing less funding per student than they did just before the recession.
The deepest cuts were in Arizona, which reduced total state funding by an astonishing 37%.
Mike Leachman co-authored the report from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says when states cut school funding during the recession, many local governments couldn't make up the difference.
Most of the deepest cutting states also cut income tax rates at a time when their revenue systems already are hurting, making the hole even deeper.
For most school districts, about 85% of its funding goes towards salaries and benefits. That's according to Eric Hauck. He studies education finance at the University of North Carolina.
So if you're cutting education budgets, other than some very marginal changes, you're actually cutting staffing levels.
Which, he says, means it's harder for schools to make changes, like expanding early education or cutting down class sizes. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you. My colleague Lizzie O'Leary, host of Marketplace Weekend, has been reporting from a still devastated Puerto Rico. The pivotal question there is five words. When will we have power? Power generation as of this morning was at 53% of capacity, nearly 3 months after the hurricane. Here's Lizzie.
In the evening, Old San Juan is humid, buggy, and noticeably quiet. There are a few tourists who look pretty out of place, and locals who don't have power are clustered in a bar that does, like Joseph Saltero.
Yeah, because the air conditioning, and you want to watch TV. I mean, once I go home later, it's nothing but heat and mosquitoes.
Fast forward 12 hours.
So my name is Johnny Price. I work for Con Edison in New York.
Those trucks are usually outside my house in Brooklyn. The New Yorkers are here, and there will be 430 of them, working under a mutual aid agreement that's different from the Whitefish Energy contract that got so much criticism.
And when we were asked, we came right down.
It took about 3 weeks from that call to working here in Old San Juan. Some buildings here are from the 16th and 17th centuries, and as a result, power lines are on rooftops.
Which is definitely new for us. In New York City, we don't do that.
Workers from Con Edison will do 5 week stints on the island. The company doesn't have a dollar figure for what all this is costing them or how many homes they've restored power to so far. But the work in Old San Juan is part of a much bigger power restoration strategy in Puerto Rico.
So we've been doing pretty good getting those lines up. There's two lines coming out of the south to the north.
That's Colonel John Lloyd from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
I serve as the Task Force Power Restoration Commander.
We met at the Army Corps' temporary home in San Juan at PREPA, the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority. Back in May, the island filed for bankruptcy, owing bondholders some $74 billion. More than $9 billion of that debt belongs to PREPA. And according to Colonel Lloyd, the debt made rebuilding harder.
In a lot of those rugged areas, the terrain, a lot of the maintenance for the access roads hasn't been done for years. That would be normal work that a utility company would be responsible for.
Right now, the Army Corps is responsible for about 60% of the restoration work. PREPA, the other 40. A little more than $1 billion of federal money is funding this. But when asked the all-important question of when power will be restored, no one's committing to deadlines yet.
Just is one of the most challenging missions that we've really faced. But it's also the number one priority for the Corps of Engineers to get this done and get the lights on as quickly as possible.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary for Marketplace.
Now, you can hear more of Lizzie's reporting from Puerto Rico in a special episode of Marketplace Weekend that's on the way. And the powerful European Central Bank today warned that things that go up can go down. The ECB's financial stability report said while stress indicators are low for the countries that use the euro, there's the, quote, risk of a rapidly repricing in global markets, and that nevertheless remains. The ECB says it's concerned that risk-taking behavior is on the rise. This may, again quoting, sow the seeds for large asset price corrections in the future. My translation, stuff happens and don't forget it. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.